Andy Anatko with us, veteran technology journalist and columnist. And there are so many tech stories in the news, we thought we'd pick the expert's brain. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Bob.
Let's talk first about these popular Apple AirTags that unfortunately were being used as a high-tech stalking tool, weren't they?
Yeah, it's a terrible problem, and it might be an unsolvable one. These little Bluetooth like item trackers have been around for a long time. You know, you stick them on your keychain. If you lose your keychain, it'll help you find it, or at least warn you that, hey, you left the house without your keys, that kind of thing. Apple got into the market just recently, a year ago, and they were promising that, oh, well, we're the privacy company, we're the safety company, we're going to make sure that people can't use these to harass, stalk, do anything bad, but that really hasn't proven to be the case. There have been lots and lots of reports of car theft rings that will just simply put one of these $25-$29 AirTags like hiding behind the license plate or the bumper of a car they want to steal later on, and then going up later to where it's parked and then picking it up at the person's house. People have been women have noticed that, gee, I found an AirTag, someone had hidden it inside my car, hidden inside my bag. There are some countermeasures that Apple did put in to help that not to happen, but they're just not effective. As a matter of fact, just last week, they announced a whole bunch of new things that they were doing to try to mitigate this, but this is going to continue to be a problem.
Yeah, I read that people are modifying AirTags to have the internal speaker, which could serve as a warning for people being stalked, disabled.
Yeah, exactly. That shows you that this is starting to become a commodity for crime. And again, it's not Apple's fault. It's just the nature of this sort of device. It's a beacon that uses extremely low-power Bluetooth to always be broadcasting a signal, and that if there's a phone nearby that is set up to be constantly looking for these signals, it notes using the phone's own GPS what that location is, that transmits to a central server. Here's the ID of that tracker number, and here's where it was the last time I spotted it. And it used to be not a bad problem when it was a company like Tile, because you have to buy it, and then you have to install special software on your phone in order to get this tracking to work. So it was only being tracked by these individual phones that happen to have this software installed. It's a huge problem with Apple, because the iPhone, every single iPhone has this tracking software. Every single iPhone is looking for these things and will report location, whether the owner owns this or not. And the iPhone is the number one most popular phone in the United States. So you can see just by a question of scale that this is probably not something that Apple can really solve.
Aside from this really bad problem of unwanted tracking, do you like this product, Andy? Is it worth it?
It's good. It has its limitations. I think these kind of tags, they're most useful for stuff like, again, once I left my phone like at an airport security, and I didn't know about it until my watch said, hey idiot, you left your phone behind. I've lost connection to your phone. Where you have it right now? So these sort of things are really, really useful when you figure out that, oh, I must have left the coffee shop without my bag, or my keys must have fallen out of my pocket because my phone just told me that it's lost contact with my tracker. In terms of finding things elsewhere in the world, it's not 100, it's not as useful as people think it is. And like I said, when it comes to Apple doing this, one of the things that kind of is a little bit galling about this is that even last week, last Thursday, when they announced, hey, we're adding new features, we're making these a little bit more safe, we're making it easier for people to detect when there's an AirTag following them around and how to find it, these are all features that are only available to you if you have an iPhone. So if you have an Android device, all they're giving you is, here's an app you can download and install that will let you manually scan to see if there's an AirTag nearby. Whereas if you have an iPhone, it'll let you know that, hey, there seems to be an AirTag following you around that you don't own. If you have an iPhone, even if that person has disabled like the little chirping sound that's supposed to be made to let you know that there's an AirTag nearby, your iPhone will actually amplify that and give you an alert saying, hey, look, there's another device around here. Mm. All that stuff is not available to you, will not keep you safe if you're an Android user, and that's not a good look.
Right. Are these AirTags expensive, this Apple product?
They're, they're cheap. They're $29. If you buy one of them for $25 each, mm-hmm. you can get them as a four pack. That's another problem. Honestly, it's not a great thing to commit a crime with, because you have to have an Apple ID, an actual login that's been verified with Apple in order to register these things. So, as a matter of fact, one of the things that they're adding to make things safer as of last week is that when you set up a new AirTag, you get a warning saying, "Hey, by the way, idiot, we know who you are. we know." So if you're using this for bad stuff, we will tell the police ask us, "Hey, someone found this AirTag somewhere in their car." We will tell them. Oh boy, will we tell them who you are? So don't even think about it.
Oh, amazing! And they'll actually call you an idiot. How about that? Let's get to a hot Apple rumor about some new stuff coming out in March and more with Andy Iannotko, who was in the Sun-Times writing about tech for nearly 20 years. Hang on, more to come. WGN. Talking with Andy Iannotko, who is a tech author and covers technology for PBS in Boston. Andy, we're hearing about Apple possibly launching some new products as soon as March 8th, according to some reports. What are you hearing? What do you know about this?
On the March 8th event that's been rumored, it's probably going to be some very, very simple updates to some longstanding products. We're kind of looking at updates to the less expensive iPads, basically making them more powerful, a little bit smaller, some smaller bezels, better styling, more colors, believe it or not. Possibility of new iPad Airs. The design is kind of old in the tooth. I'm just talking about the physical appearance, and they've been going to a brand new design language, so you might be able to see those in more colors. One of the biggest things that we're still kind of looking forward to with Apple is that they promised a couple of years ago, when they introduced that they were going to be abandoning Intel as the core chip for all of their machines and all their Macs, and switching over to their own custom developed CPUs. They promised that they would that the Mac line would be completely based on Apple silicon by the end of this year. So there's still some computers we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen the pro level Macs come out yet, the super powerhouse ones that cost an arm and a leg, but oh my god, they can move planets. They're so powerful. So we're also hoping for these upgraded processors in the Mac Mini, which is their affordable desktop Mac, the one that doesn't have a screen, doesn't come with anything. They created a transitional one last year, the year before, but it really was kind of weak. They basically took the MacBook Air, the really cheap one, and they built it as a desktop for people who wanted to sort of play around with it. So we're hoping for that really good, super powerful, but still compact and affordable Mac to come out. When Apple comes out with stuff in March or April, they're selling to people who have to put in major, major purchase orders for the end of the year. So oftentimes we're talking about schools, we're talking about businesses who are trying to build out an entire division. So that's why you often see some of these mid-tier and inexpensive devices like iPads, iPad Air, like MacBook Airs, and like these Mac Minis, new releases back coming out in March.
We keep hearing about a folding iPhone. Is that ever going to happen?
I don't know. They're definitely building it. They have lots of patents on folding screens. There have been a bunch of people who are goods who specialize in Apple rumors. Apple is incredibly secretive. They don't mention anything until they're ready to ship it. But there's some people with very good track records who are saying not soon, but 2023 at the earliest, maybe 2024. They definitely built some. They have some in Cupertino in labs that they're playing with. The question is what they're going to do with it. There are two styles that we see on the market right now, the kinds that are a tablet that can fold in half and become like a phone, and then there are the types that fold out to be the size of a regular phone, but then you can still fold them in half again and make them a lot more smaller and a lot more pocketable. There's probably, if you have to bet on it, I think that you would bet on Apple making that second kind, not the tablet that turns into a phone, but a phone that becomes something even more stylish. Remember, Apple is a design company and a style company as much as it is a technology company. They make these wonderful devices that you just want to carry with you. You just want to put it on the table. When you get dressed, you feel great. But taking this thing and putting it in your pocket because it's such a beautifully designed, it's like a Cartier cigarette case in the 1920s or 1930s. So, yeah, absolutely no speculation on when it's coming out yet. Again, I would be really surprised if we saw it next year. 2024, sure. Samsung was the first company to come out with folding phones because they're making a lot of the actual displays that they're selling to other companies to make these products with. And last year, we started to see them stop becoming sort of a toy and sort of a demonstration device. And sales are really, really starting to pick up with these things, indicating that people are starting to actually become interested in that sort of stuff. So Apple, traditionally, they'll let another company define a market and establish that, yes, there are people who are lining up to buy this stuff before they'll get in with their own version of it and hopefully clear the table.
Did you like Samsung's new phone lineup announcement? Do you like their products?
Yeah, they're really, really good. They're probably the only really, really good hardware choice available for most of the world when they're buying an Android phone as an alternative to the iPhone. They came out with the new Galaxy S series, which is sort of their version of the iPhone, a premium product, even though it's kind of affordable. The cheapest one is like $800 or $900. The most expensive is about $1,200. And they have all the beautiful camera arrays, beautiful displays. The thing to remember about Samsung is that not only do they make laptops, tablets, phones, they make the CPUs, they make the screens, they make the memory that go into a lot of these products. So they get the pick of the litter. They make these beautiful displays that you just sometimes you're watching a video on it and you almost forget to watch the actual movie because the screen is so beautiful. It's probably the best screen inside your entire house, this $800, $900 phone. And so these new versions that they came out last week, it's an incremental increase. It wasn't anything revolutionary, but still very, very good improvements in the display, really good improvements on the camera. So if you had waited a couple of years to update, this would be a good year to get back into Samsung because they're very, very nice machines. And they didn't increase the price one iota, so you get basically all these improvements for free.
Sounds good. Andy Anatko, technology journalist and former Sun-Times columnist. And Andy, Apple probably hates me because I still have and love my iPhone 8. It works perfectly. But they don't like customers to hang on to their products that long, do they?
The only thing they hate more than that are people that try to escape the handcuffs of buying everything Apple. So long as you bought an Apple laptop and an Apple speakers and Apple watch, they'll let you back. They'll still take your money. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Thanks, Andy. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot.